If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And when you get there, also get the little insert out of your bulletin and open that up if you have it with you. This is our time of confession, and typically we're sort of looking back on our previous week. This is going to be a little different. We're kind of looking forward in this particular time together. I believe it was John MacArthur who said about his ministry, you know, they asked him, why do you preach straight through books of the Bible? And his answer was, I love this sentence, he said, every word inspired, every word preached. I like that. I'm going to change the motto slightly, and I want to encourage us together in something that I'm going to say, you know, every word inspired, how about every word read? I don't know about you, I have had a bad track record in my life with Bible reading plans, okay? I've been really ambitious. I've done like the Robert Murray McShane, read the New Testament twice, Psalms and Proverbs twice, Old Testament once in a year, and you make it through like Exodus, and you hit Leviticus, and you just stop. You ever been there before? You make it into February or March, and then it's all over. You're like, I'm about 6 months behind in October, you know, on my reading plan. So, and I also know this. I know that when someone tells me to do something like this, it makes me even more not want to do it because I have a rebellious nature. So don't let that get in the way of you right now. But I do want to issue a challenge, especially to the members of this church, but to everybody in this room. I want to issue a challenge. I found what I think is my favorite, and I know everyone might have their different pick, but this is my favorite Bible reading plan that I've ever seen before. And if you will indulge me just for a moment, I would like to explain why I like it so much. So take a look at this sheet of paper. You can see it goes Sunday through Saturday. Here's what I love. You are in only one book of the Bible a day. Can we handle this? That's possible. That's doable. We don't have to flip eight times reading 13 verses of this and 12 and a half chapters of that. It's just, you're in one book a day. So that's simple. I like that. And you are in a different genre of the Bible each day of the week. So you're in the New Testament letters on Sunday, and that's like Romans through Jude, really great stuff. Then you're in the books of Moses every Monday, Genesis through Deuteronomy. You're working through the Old Testament historical books, Joshua through Esther, every Tuesday. You've got the Psalms, which is awesome. You're either doing one, two, or three Psalms every Wednesday. You're doing the poetry, Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, every Thursday. You're working through the more difficult prophecy books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc., all the way through Revelation on Fridays. Get an extra cup of coffee on Friday. Okay, I'm just telling you. You got five chapters to go through, and it's great stuff, but it takes some work. And then the Gospels, every single Saturday, you're either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or at the end of the year, you're in Acts. This is what I love about this. Every week, you're in a psalm. Every week, you're in a gospel. Every week, you're in Romans or 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You're in the more familiar territory of Scripture about 3 days a week. And then there's those other three or four days where I think we can be in this together and we can do this. We can make it, okay? We can go through the Pentateuch. We can go through the prophets. And I just think our church at this moment is just at a place where I think we're ready for something like this. And so don't do it out of a spirit of legalism, right? We're not doing this to one-up each other. You know, he or she with the most checks at the end of the year does not win, okay? That's not what we're doing. You don't look at someone's sheet and go, oh, you're about 2 weeks behind. I'm 2 weeks ahead. You know, we're not doing that stuff, okay? That's not going to happen. But I just think here are the things that it could help out with us as a community. First of all, New Year's resolutions, when we do them by ourselves, we quit in about 4 days. So it's nice to have a group together doing something. It kind of keeps you motivated. It's like climbing a mountain, something I do all the time. You climb a mountain, you do it by yourself, you give up early, you go back home, you do it with a group, and you last just a slight bit longer before you turn around and go back home. That's my experience. But this will be climbing the mountain. And I think every word is inspired. This year, it would be amazing if every word was read by all of us. Wouldn't that be awesome? So here's some benefits. Number one, we have small groups that meet, family groups, 2 Sundays a month after the service. We have discussion groups that meet, 3 of them that meet on Thursday nights every week. This will really give us something to talk about because we've got some difficult passages and some glorious passages that we'll be reading every single week. And I think it'll spur conversation. For those of you who are not aware or are not tech savvy enough, I'm not really tech savvy either. Once again, I could show you my phone, but I won't. the newest iPhone. We have a GroupMe thing, if you know what GroupMe is. And we may even make a little GroupMe, what do you call it? Group. And wow, who would have thought that that's the answer? We're going to make a GroupMe group, believe it or not. And in that group, we're going to be sharing things with each other as we read. So Scott and I have been talking about getting the blog going and trying to get a week ahead with blog posts that will be related to the coming week's reading. It may just be about one passage. It might be about all of them in like short form. But I've already typed one up, and we're hoping to get it on there this week. And then we'll have several people will be writing some of those, Lord willing. And I just think it'll be cool. I think it'll be a great way to build the community around Scripture and to just be experiencing all of it throughout the year. And here's the last thing I could probably say a couple more things about this, because I think this is really cool. If nothing else, try it for January. If nothing else, just try it for January. Just get this folded piece of paper, whatever Bible you like to read out of at home. You might have different Bibles. Just the Bible you like to read out, just keep this in that Bible. And just for the month of January, just try it. And for some of you, you might want to do more readings on one. You might want to, you know, knock out half the week on one day or something. You can mix it up however you want to do it. But just try it for January. And if at the end of January you are feeling more distant from the Lord than you were now, then you have full permission to stop. But I somehow don't think that's the way it's going to work. And so I would just say, give it a shot. And I think this will be a really cool opportunity. And just to get us going, I'm going to give you half the reading for Wednesday right now. We're doing it live right now. We're going to do Psalm 1. And just one word, Psalm 1 and 2, coming up on Wednesday, they're really the two introductory psalms of the whole book of Psalms, because they deal with the two major themes of the book of Psalms. Number one is the Torah, or the law, the scripture. And Psalm 2 is about the anointed one, the Lord's king, the Davidic king, which ultimately is going to be is Jesus eternally. And so the two big themes of the Psalms are the law and the Messiah. Those are two dominating themes in the Psalms. And so we'll get to read about those this week. So let's read. I'll read Psalm 1 for us here. So this is the word of the Lord. Psalm 1:1. The way of the righteous and the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So let's bow our heads together, and I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I think all of us could confess right now that certainly, at least during portions of the year, if not more often, we neglect your word. For me, it is so easy to just get distracted and to push it off and push it off and push it off until I just haven't read it. And so I pray, Lord, that you would convict us where appropriate, where we've neglected your word, but that you would give us a zeal, a hunger to meditate on your word day and night, so that we could be like trees planted by streams of water, that no matter what the weather is like in our circumstances, we bear fruit in season because we're drawing our nutrients deep down from the soil of Scripture and the river of the water of life. God, I pray that you would, not out of legalism, not out of any kind of one-upmanship, out of a humble longing to know the fullness of your revelation, I pray that you would do more than we even think you're going to do through this Bible reading program. I pray that you would give us a strong desire to be a part of this. And I pray not just that we'd be motivated for a couple of weeks. I pray that as we read your word across Scripture, that you would do such a work in our heart of exposing our idols and our false saviors and our self-righteousness, and showing us Jesus in Deuteronomy, showing us Jesus in Jeremiah, showing us Jesus in the Psalms, showing us your grace writ large across even the historical books of the Old Testament, where we see the failures and the successes and the grace that is given and the forgiveness that is bestowed. I pray, God, that we would see connections across the Bible. I pray we would see the way that the Old Testament gives such rich and textured background to the New Testament, and how the New Testament quotes and explains so many of the mysterious parts of the Old Testament. I pray that you would spark discussions and even prayer around what we've read, and that you would just do something this year that's, as Ephesians says, it's beyond what we ask or think that you would even do. I pray, God, that we would not be left to ourselves. I pray that your Spirit would be at work illuminating Scripture, showing us your beauty, your glory, your holiness, your character through these stories and these laws and these writings and this poetry and these revelatory and prophetic portions of Scripture. God, I pray that we would see you all across the Bible and see how the whole Bible is leaning towards or pointing towards our Savior Jesus. And I pray, God, that this year would be a time of joy and edification and growth, and that we could share sermons and articles that have helped us understand some of these passages, maybe in fresh and new and biblical ways. And God, I just pray that you would be glorified. Jesus, you said on the night before you were betrayed, "Sanctify my people by the truth. Your word is truth." And we want to be sanctified. We want to be holy. We want to be more like Christ. And so I pray that your word would be the truth and the grace and the power that we need to become more like Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.